Hello, my name is Anya Karwowska, and this episode has been sponsored by The Science. Just joking. I have come up with this episode because recently I've had a surgery, and when I was recovering, trying to feel the ground, getting back on my feet, I've had lots of time to think, and it struck me that in medicine we have evidence-based medicine. When you go to a doctor, if you have a surgery, you know that the doctor or the surgeon will follow certain procedures. They will not jazz, let me put it this way. And when it comes to education, it's a little bit different. Unfortunately, education is still perceived as philosophy, as a way of approaching stuff. Teachers still have quite a lot of freedom. And I know some people will hate me for that, but that's true. We teachers have quite a lot of freedom, and it applies to teacher trainers as well. And unfortunately, as a result, we often choose methods that might not be aligned with science, but we believe in them. And I think that deep-rooted belief can sometimes be hurtful and harmful, and it may produce bad results. So in today's episode, I will be talking about science, data, how to tell bad science from good science, and what are the red flags you should be looking out for. So when parents and teachers seek for the best methods to support their child's educational development, and when the child is dyslexic, obviously we put all hands on board and we try to sift through what's best. Unfortunately, there's lots of bad marketing called snake's oil in the ELT industry. So what you should be looking out for? First of all, no matter how the method is advertised or marketed, you should check the sources, you should check the reliable publications. And when I talk about reliable publications, I'm not talking about a person who created an institute and then publishes their work. I'm talking about independent research. Look into authors' qualifications, but I would say that qualifications is just one aspect of the whole process. So this is one thing. I would look at the methodology. So what methodology are they using? A methodology is set of methods that we use to conduct a study. And then I would look at the sample size. When it comes to methodology, I would also look at the control group and randomization. So was there a control group? Were the participants randomly assigned to the groups or not? What is the sample size? Can the study be replicated? And by replicated, I mean reproduced with the same results. How was it analyzed? What are the conclusions? So did the author present exaggerated claim? Maybe they presented a claim based on their own lived experiences that cannot be translated to a larger pool of people. So this is something I would really look very carefully into, because when we talk about science, and I know that science and neurodidactics are so popular right now, everyone all of a sudden is a scientist. What I find very concerning is that people talk about science or the research, and they do not dig deep into the research. So they do not discern the facts. Say, oh yeah, there is a study, it's fascinating, and that's why we should do this or that. Or we have an author who created a method long time ago when we didn't have as much research, we didn't have the same grasp of knowledge that we have now. So that research is opposed to what the science says, what the neurosciences say, and it's still being sold to parents. I find it very disheartening, because as a parent of a dyslexic child, I know that when your child is struggling, you will leave no stone unturned if you want to help your child. And the same is with teachers, because I'm also a teacher and a teacher trainer, and I know that in my work, when I'm working with students who are struggling, I do everything to get to the heart of the matter so that I know that they are equipped and we can move on. So I would say that the teachers and the parents are very susceptible buying false claims, and statistics or methodology is not taught in depth during our studies, which is a shame, and teachers are not to blame, absolutely not, because teachers are natural givers and we want the best for our students. But I think that we should be very cautious before we buy any method. And what I would look even deeper into is that if we find a method, and let's say it raises a red flag because maybe it cannot be replicated, or it hasn't been replicated, or it's just a study based on the author's lived experiences, I would look for the expert opinions. I would even sift through support groups, because a parent support group, a teacher support group can be a good starting point for you to start your research, because they might point you to relevant directions. And I wanted to sum up with very easy to spot red flags. So often parents and teachers ask me, but what are the red flags? What is the thing I should be aware of? Like, let's say we know the red flags when it comes to certain illnesses, right? But what about the red flags in science? Well, if someone presents you very quick and easy solutions, I call them quick wins. So miraculous instant results, I would be very, very wary of such. Lack of peer review. So let's say someone created a method and they replicated the method themselves, which is unethical, and the data is merged, so really you can't say whether it's good or bad. Or when there is not only lack of peer review, but on the top of it, the person creates institute and produces their own research, and it's never validated by independent researchers. So is the study backed by a company that directly benefits from the product? That's another red flag. And I wanted to give you a little bit more because I think it's really important. So I will give you examples of questionable or bad research in the field of dyslexia. So if there is a lack of clear hypotheses or research goals, for example, and I'm not pointing right now at any specific research, I'm just giving you general examples. Imagine that a study claims to explore the effectiveness of teaching method for children, but the result doesn't clearly define what the outcome should be. That's a red flag. What if there is a poor methodological design? And I will dive a little bit deeper into it. Imagine there is a study on dyslexia interventions that does not have a control group or randomization. I'll call it a red flag because it fails to isolate the effect of intervention from other variables. Now, imagine this. I know that in education, we are huge fans of qualitative research. And don't get me wrong, qualitative research can provide us with a plethora of insights. And very important, however, in qualitative research, we say that it is limited due to lack of generalizability. So it means that the insights are important, they are valid, however, we have to quantify them. And another thing is a small sample size. So often we have research that, for example, has a participation of a very small group of students, like 5, 10, 15. So a small sample size undermines the statistical power. So again, it's a red flag. Lack of replication. So if you have a study that promises you wonderful results, but again, it wasn't replicated, that's another red flag. Bias reporting, conflict of interest. So for example, think about this. Imagine that a study was funded by a company that sells dyslexia learning tools, and they report a huge positive result, an overwhelming positive result for the product, but does not disclose potential conflicts of interest or fails to mention negative outcomes. That's a red flag. If the data is misinterpreted, so for, imagine, again, I'm just presenting you with hypothetical examples. Researchers, let's say that the researchers claim that the findings for dyslexia intervention is effective, but closer examinations reveal that they selectively reported the data, so they ignore the conflicting results. Misinterpretation of data. Imagine that a study was conducted with a specific size, and it makes very broad claims that the results apply to a bigger audience. That's another red flag. And I wanted to tell you about a research that it recently has been discussed, and I was writing about it on LinkedIn. So there was an article from 2017 that introduced a new theory about dyslexia. You know, like those flickering glasses, flickering lights, right? Dyslexia glasses, suggesting that it stemmed from symmetry in the photoreceptor distribution in your eyes. And that theory led to creation and marketing of products like flickering eyeglasses, screens, lamps for individuals with dyslexia. So a recent commentary in the Proceedings of the Royal Society disputes that the paper claims brain is highly problematic and they are doubting its reproducibility, so the results cannot be reproduced. And the critic highlights several issues with the original study. So the controversy underscores the importance of research and transparent methodology. I will link that article in this episode description, so tune in and read on as well, because I think it's very important. And that's it, my friends. Be critical consumers of knowledge. Question everything. Question anything and everything. That should be your motto. And talk to you next time.
Bye.